All right, well, your Bible's open this morning to the book of Psalms, and chapter 121, Psalms 121, for the reading of God's Word this morning. And we'll try to bring the thought that God has laid upon our heart. When you find your place there, let's all stand together, please, for the reading of His Word. And then I'll just read a couple of verses today, and we'll let you be seated, and we'll get right on into the message. And some, as one preacher said, I'll do you like Liz Taylor did her eighth husband. I won't keep you long. Amen. And I think that's Brother Larry Raines I first heard make that statement. It kind of stuck with me down through the years. Psalm 121, I want to read the first two verses this morning. Is all further I'm going to read. That's what I'm going to be preaching from. And let's read the Word of God in verse number 1 of Psalm 121. I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. Now may the Lord add His blessing to that. Let's go to Him in just a moment of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we're thankful this morning that we can gather together. Thank You that we can sing. Thank You, Lord, that we can fellowship. Thank You we can enjoy the Word of God. Thank You, Lord, for giving Your life a ransom for our sins. And thank You, Lord, so much this morning for the Sunday school time that we've had and the fellowship with the men. And thank You, Lord, for the privilege of preaching today. I pray Your unction and Your power and Your grace would rest upon it. May hearts and lives be transformed by the grace of God today. I do pray for those that are sick, those, Lord, that are physically sick and handicapped. I pray You'll bless them and help them. Touch their lives, comfort them in their sickness and sorrow, whatever it may be. Help us, I pray, in here this morning. May Your will be done in every heart and every life. And Father, we'll thank You and praise You for what's done in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Thank You, and you may be seated. Well, I don't think we'd have to read long in these two verses to catch really the drift of what the psalmist here is trying to say to our hearts. He's looking for help. There's no question about that. I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. And my help cometh from the Lord, He said. And so he's here looking for divine help. And you know, it's always, it's always wise to look for the strong, for the strength that we need. We're not going to look to something that's weaker than what we are or as we are. For the help, we're going to look to the stronger than we are to give us the strength. That's why the psalmist said, I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord. You know, if we look within, if a man were to look within himself, all that he's ever going to find there is the darkness of his own heart. You're not going to find any help. By the way, I'm preaching this morning on help for the helpless. And you're not going to find any help this morning as you look into the sepulcher of yourself. You'll not find it there. You wasn't able to help yourself, and you're certainly not going to be able to help someone else either. It's going to take someone outside of you in order to give you the help that you need. And then if we look without, we're only going to find others like ourselves, and they're traveling the same little slippery slopes of life that you and I are traveling on ourselves. The psalmist said in Psalm 60 and verse 11, the Lord said, give us help from trouble, for vain is the help of man. And our help is not going to come from man, that's for sure. We're all, if you look to man for help, it'll fail, because we're all in the same sinking boat. Every man, woman, boy, and girl that's in this church this morning, and those that are outside, we're all in the same boat. And by the way, that boat is sinking. But I'm glad that there's one that's got grace and power that's able to undergird that ship that we're sailing in. Right. And we're not going down with the ship, ladies and gentlemen. That ship is going up by the grace of God. Amen. And it's going up because of Him, and actually it's going up because of Him and in spite of us. The Lord still, we're still going up when that time arrives for it. But, you know, as for the psalmist, what he said in verse 2, he said, my help cometh from the Lord. And a very familiar Psalm, 46:1. He said in verse 1, He is a present help. The Lord is a present help. And he is a present help. He's a present help in trouble. And in verse 2, he said, my help cometh from the Lord. So the Lord is our present help. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Now, David here, as Brother Steve said in Sunday school, found himself in some troubling situation. And he knew that there was no help within. He knew that there was no help without. But he knew that the Lord was a present help in that trouble. And so he's going to look under the hills from which cometh his help. He's going to look under the Lord, for the Lord is the one that's got the ability to give him that help. So our Lord is a present help. That don't mean tomorrow. That don't mean next month. That don't mean next year. That don't even mean 30 minutes from now. The Lord is a present help in trouble. That is present tense, if I might say that. That means that he is always there to help us. Was not he there for Peter? When old Peter took a stroll on the water and saw the waves and the wind boisterous and beginning to sink, he cried out to the Lord. And the Lord didn't say, wait a minute, Peter, and I'll be there. He didn't say, I'll be there after a while. Hang on until I get there. He was a present help in trouble. Amen. And sometimes I think we get the idea that we've just got to hang on a little bit until the Lord gets there. Well, the Lord's already here. You don't have to wait till he gets here. He's already here. You don't have to wait till he gets there. He's already there. In fact, he's already everywhere. There is no place that he is not. The Lord is everywhere at all times. Never is a place anywhere that the Lord is not. In fact, if you ascend into heaven, he's there. You make your bed in hell, he's there. He is everywhere. He is a present help in trouble. So he is our present help. And I want to say also that he's a powerful help. A very powerful help. The Bible says in Psalm 124, verse 8, our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth. I don't know any name that is above that name. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I'm going to tell you, at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord to the glory of God the Father. And if he created heaven and earth, he is a very powerful help. I think sometimes we get the idea that the Lord is some little gray-haired man sitting in a rocking chair that passes out bubble gum on Sunday morning to the kid in Sunday school class. He's not that at all. And by the way, he is a sovereign God that's ruling and reigning, and he's in control of everything. And we need to get a hold of that this morning. Hey, we have a powerful help. He has never failed anyone. He is so powerful that he cannot fail. Amen. And that power is in his name. And if you read through the Bible, there's been several names that's been attributed to our Lord that describe his power, his grace, his glory, and his ability to do for you and I what we're not able to do for ourselves. He is a wonderful God and a powerful God. Then I want to say this morning that he is a personal help. Somebody said, preacher, what on earth are you? A personal help. Yes, he's a personal help. I'm reading in Isaiah chapter number 41, beginning in verse number 10. And I want you to notice the number of times that a personal pronoun is used in these verses. He said in verse 10, for fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Behold, all they that were incensed against thee shall be ashamed and confounded. God will cause those that are against you to be ashamed and confounded. They shall be as nothing. God will cut them down till they be as nothing. And they that strive with thee shall perish. What a promise that is. That God is our help. And those things that strive against us, whether it be man or whether it be the elements, whether it be something in this world, in this life of ours, sickness or disease or whatever it might be, God said they will perish. And they will perish. Each and every one. He goes on to say, thou shalt seek them and shall not find them, even them that contended with thee. They that war against thee shall be as nothing and as a thing of naught. In other words, he said, I'm going to destroy your enemies. I'm such a help to you that I'm going to destroy your enemies in such a way that you're not even going to be able to find them. They'll be a thing of naught. They're going to be gone. They're going to perish. I'm going to deliver you from them and remove them far away from you. He goes on to say, for the Lord thy God will hold thy right hand, saying unto thee, fear not, I will help. That will ask something, Lord. Do you believe that? Do you believe that God will help you? Oh, I'm telling you, we got so many people today that entertain the idea that God will help somebody else. And it's a wonderful thing that He helps somebody else. But I'm telling you that God will help you.
Amen.
I'm talking about a personal help from God. And He does not put any limitations on that help.
Right.
Neither does He put any limitations on the adversities that may come our way. But I'm going to tell you, whatever adversities you face, they are no match for the power of God. They are no match for the power of God. He is all powerful. He is the Almighty One. He is the first and the last, and by the way, everything in between them as well. And there's no power that can stay the hand of God. That's how mighty and powerful God is. Amen. And He will help you today, not somebody else. I don't know what trouble you're in. I don't know what problem you're having. I don't know what's grieving your heart. I don't know what's burdening you down. I don't know what's robbing you of your joy. I don't know where your happiness is. But I'm telling you, there's a God in heaven sitting on the throne of heaven that is looking down upon men, and His eyes run to and fro in the earth, and He knows where you are, what's going on in your little life, and God is able to deliver you from that. He is a powerful God, and He loves you.
Amen.
Not somebody else, you. God loves you.
Man,
something's wrong when He saved you. Did He save you or somebody else? If He saved you, He helped you then, didn't He?
Amen.
He'll help you now as well. Now, Isaiah goes on to say again in verse 14, fear not, thou worm Jacob, ye men of Israel. Notice this. How marvelous is our God and how marvelous is the Word of God if you'll just look at it. All of a sudden, He's talking about helping one individual, and he jumps from one to a nation. God said, it's no problem for me to help one. And that one said, fear not, thou worm Jacob, and ye men of Israel, I will help thee. He goes from one to a nation. It's no problem for God. Boy, I'll tell you, we better not limit the Holy One of Israel. Don't put a muzzle on God and try to limit Him and His power. He does what He wants. And I don't know any power that is, if I can use this little term, just big enough to do anything about it. In other words, Mr. Big Britches can't do anything when God is on our side, and He's always on our side. You know who Mr. Big Britches is.
Right.
I'm talking about that guy that's red and got a big long tail trying to pitch for it. But he don't look like that.
Right.
He's probably wearing a three-piece suit if the truth was known. And I'm going to tell you, Mr. Big is no match for God. God will deliver one on a personal basis or a nation. Makes no difference to God. And He goes on to say, I will help thee, saith the Lord, and thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. Now I want to notice secondly, in verse number 2, He is resolved to lift up His eyes. And this reveals His discouraged heart. And no doubt His eyes were down. And He said, I will. He made a resolution. I'm going to. And you're going to have to do that. Some of y'all dragging in here, bless your heart. We all drug in here this morning like we had dead flies hanging on us. That's right. We're all going to have to make a resolution in our own heart that, hey, that we're discouraged, but we're going to have to make a resolution. If we want help, we're going to have to lift up our eyes and look unto them hills from whence cometh our help. That's something that David had, I believe David wrote it. That's something David has had to do by himself. And that is something that you and I are going to have to do on ourselves. We're going to have to make that resolution that we're going to lift up our eyes and look unto those hills. Hey, that we want help bad enough that we're going to find. Now, I'm just going to tell you something. Brother Gray and Brother Doug and I went Friday night down in Tennessee, down at Brother Moy's, and listen to Brother Terry Norris and Brother Ronnie Jones preach. And friend, I'm going to tell you, both preachers give me what I needed for that night. I came back with something in my heart that I didn't have when I went down there. I mean, it got so good that Brother Jones, when he was preaching, the church was set up like this, but Brother Doug and Brother Gray and myself were sitting over here on the front bench. And it started heating up, and I looked at Brother Jones, and I said, man, you've got us on the hot seat. And that preacher, I mean, it's almost like he just turned away from the rest of the crowd. And I've been that way, boy. I've been preaching that way and found one person that will zero in on me, and I know they're connected with me, and they're listening and paying attention to what I'm saying. They're getting a hold of and what I'm saying they need. He saw three little old fellas sitting over there that needed what he was saying and knew that we were connected with him. And it was just almost like he was preaching to us three in that service. And it like to got on. I'm just telling you, it like to got on. It was so good. I'm telling you, it fired up my soul and blessed my heart. And I came back with some joy in my soul that I hadn't had down in there in a long time. And some victory that I've been needing for a long time in my heart. Amen and glory to God. That's right. So he's resolved to look up. Look up. Look up with hope. Said in Psalm 42:5, why art thou cast down, O my soul, and why art thou disquieted in me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him for the what? Help of his countenance. That's right. Look up under the hills. Why? Look up there with hope, because there's help. I'm telling you, there is help for the helpless. You can't help yourself. Man cannot help you. But I'm telling you, there is one that can, and David realized that. If he had looked under the hills, that's where his help was at. And he looked, and he found that help, and if you'll look this morning, you'll find that help as well. I'm beginning to wonder if some of you in here ain't wanting help. Now I may say that again in a little bit. Some of you act like you do not want help. You live like you do not want help. You live like you are satisfied with the molly grubs, and you're just going to stay there in your little old world and let everything else roll by, and you act like you really don't want any help.
Right.
If you don't want it, you're not going to get it. David had resolved. He said, I will lift up my eyes under the hills from whence cometh my help. There, and you got to look up with hope, and you got to look up with expectancy. Psalm 5:3, the psalmist said, my voice shalt thou hear in the morning, O Lord. In the morning will I direct my prayer unto thee and what? And will look up. I'll direct my prayer unto thee. I'm going to lift up my eyes unto the hills. And when I look up to you, I'm expecting you to do something. Do you have that expectancy? Do you pray? And do you lift up your eyes to the Lord? And when you do you really expect Him to do something? Or is it just a ritual that we're going through?
Amen.
When we meet back here in prayer, you ladies meet back there and pray, do you really expect Him to do something, or is it just a little formality of life that we're going through? We've got to have some kind of expectation in our soul to believe that if we look up, that God will do what He says He'll do. And He said if we'll look up under those hills from which cometh our help, that we'll find help there, because the Lord is our help, what He said in verse 2.
Amen.
He is our help. Yes, sir. Now, you got to look up with confidence. Again, verse 5:3, my voice shalt thou hear, He said, in the morning. I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills from whence cometh my help. Great confidence that David had. Then his help is said to come from two places. In verse 1, it comes from the hills. But in verse 2, it said, my help comes from the Lord.
Right.
Now I'm going to tell you something. You can't separate them.
No, sir.
They're both one and the same. The hills and the Lord, they're the same thing. You cannot separate those. I'll lift up mine eyes unto the hill from which cometh my help. The Lord is my help. So there's no way you can separate those one from the other.
Right.
They go perfectly together. Let me ask you something this morning. When you come to church this morning, had you looked up at God's hill of love?
That's right.
Have you looked up at God's hill of love? Oh, this is just a little Sunday school verse, Brother Hall, and it don't really mean a lot. Oh, you better get a hold of it. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. I'm going to tell you, look up to that hill of love. Can I say this morning? That's a pretty big hill. That ain't no small bump in the road, folks. That hill of love is a big hill. In fact, you'll never climb to the top of it. Jump, get your climbing shoes on and start climbing God's hill of love. Knowing at the top of that hill, there is love forevermore from the everlasting God who died in your place on Calvary. Oh, and I'm gonna, now I don't care how hard you climb, how fast you climb, and how far you climb. You'll never get there. Somebody said, what's the need in climbing? I'm glad you asked me that. Because if you start climbing up, I'll guarantee you he'll start coming down. And brother, just like that ram that went up the hill the same time Isaac and Abraham went up, you'll meet along the way somewhere, and I'll guarantee you when you meet, you'll find help from the hill of love. God will shed abroad that love in your heart by the Holy Ghost that is given unto you. Yes, sir. The hill of love, pretty big hill, ain't it? What about the hill of life? For God so loved the world that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Can I say something else right there? Life, that's a pretty big hill. That's a big hill. I'm glad I'm alive today. Jesus said himself, he said, I'm he that was alive and was dead, and lo, I'm alive forevermore and have the keys of hell and death. Then he stopped for a while and looked around and said, amen. So be it. Amen. That's true. That's true. I've got the key to hell and death. If he's got the key to hell and death and he saved us this morning and given us life, what a big hill that is. If we have life, that means we're not in death. If we're not in death, that means we're alive now. If we're alive now, that means we're going to be alive forevermore. That means that the second death shall have no power over us. I don't know about you, honey. I ain't going to no lake of fire. Praise God, I've been lifted by the love of God and given a life that is everlasting. And I'm going to tell you, it's delivered me from the abyss. I don't have to worry about going to hell today because of the great love of God. He helped me when I was helpless then. He'll help us when we're helpless now. And by the way, we're just as helpless within ourselves now as we was when we was lost. You couldn't help yourself then. You can't help yourself now. But He can. I'm going to say that's a pretty big hill. What about the hill of liberty? That's a pretty big hill, isn't it? He that believeth on him is not condemned. You've been set at liberty. That's a pretty big hill. Now I'm going to make some of you swallow real hard right here. What about the hill of providence? That's a big hill, ain't it? God got his hand on a little old you.
Amen.
Just like he did on Moses. The providence of God was with Moses. Now I'm getting ready to bust some of his bubble real bad here. What about the hill of predestination? I'm going to say something to you right here. Predestination never deals with salvation. It always deals with glorification. Amen. And that is a pretty big hill. That if we have been saved, we are predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son. That means in Kentucky language, if I can say it, one of these days it's going to take place. And that little butterfly that's inside that cocoon you're living in is going to come out of there.
Amen.
Amen. One of the most beautiful creatures that's ever walked in shoe leather. Only you ain't going to be walking in shoe leather. I don't know what you're going to be walking in, but I don't know what you're going to be walking on.
Amen.
Gold.
Yes, sir.
Amen. Amen. That which is valuable down here is walked on up there. You know what the most valuable thing in heaven is? It ain't the gold. It's Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. He is the most valuable person and commodity that this world has ever known. God's darling Son. And He is a help for the helpless today. Will it get a hold of you after a while that He wants to help you this morning?
Right.
Amen. That's right. What about that hill of proven faithfulness? I'm going to say those three hills, proven faithfulness, providence, and predestination, they're pretty big hills. I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, David said, from whence cometh my help. Now I'm going to say fourthly, we know where to look. We know who to look to. But do you even know what your need is? I think most people today really haven't got a clue of what their need really is. I believe if you did, you'd do something about it. Can you say amen?
Amen.
When you get hungry, you eat. Because your body has a need for food. And you realize there's a need there, so you sit down and eat. Why? Because you know you have a need to eat. Without it, you ain't going to live long. When you get thirsty, you drink water. Why? Because you have a need for that water. And without it, water, you're going to live less time than what you do without food. So you're going to drink that water. So why is it if we have a spiritual need, if we really know what that need is, then why, in heaven's sake, don't we do something about it? David realized there was a spiritual need in his life. He said, I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth.
Amen.
Now, do you really know what your need is? I'd venture to say that there's a lot of people that don't even know. May I say this morning that there's help for the weak? Oh, there's so many folks today that are weak in God. I'm going to tell you, we've been through some battles. This church has. We've walked through the fire. We've been badgered on every side and beaten down. We've been trodden upon by other men and other preachers and other people. And I'm going to tell you, we've been through some stormy days and stormy nights. But oh, I'm telling you, when the going got so tough that we felt like we couldn't take another step, we just lift up our eyes under the hills from whence cometh our help. And I'm going to tell you, God's standing there with all the help that we need. He'll pour out grace on the humble. He'll help the humble. That's right. If we'll just humble ourselves, God will certainly help us. He'll help the weak. Now, I say this in Romans 8:26. He said, likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, our weaknesses, that which we're weak in. Let me ask you something this morning. Has your faith grown a little bit weak? Has your faith grown a little bit weak? I thought about the story about Elijah. Elijah had seen the provisions of God. He was by the brook. He drank of the water, ate of the bread that the ravens brought by morning and noon, at night, evening. He had seen God's provisions in Zarephath. He saw God's power on the mountain when the fire fell. He saw God's blessing when the rain came down. He saw all that. But he got one little word that a woman was after him. Hey. And somehow he had a lapse of faith. His faith, I'd say, grew just a little bit weak. And he went off down in the wilderness, left his servant behind, and went alone by himself on down into the wilderness and sat down under a juniper tree and wished that himself could die. May I say to you that, hey, our faith is going to grow weak every now and then. I noticed something about that. The Bible said in 1 Kings 19:4, but he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness. He left his servant and went a day's journey into the wilderness himself. That is, when he separated himself from all others. Friend, I'm going to tell you, you're making a sad mistake. When you get the idea that you do not need fellowship with God's people, you're making a big mistake. Oh, I can make it on my own. You cannot make it on your own. The devil, that's exactly what the devil's ploy is to separate you and cut you out of the flock like a little lamb, cutting you out of the flock, and I'll tell you, he'll tear you to shreds someday. You cannot make it outside the fold. Why? Because the shepherd is not the fold with him. But even if you get out of that fold, he'll come looking for you. He left a 99 and went up to that one out in the wilderness, didn't he? He went looking for Elijah down under that juniper tree. He not only was separated himself from others, trying to make it alone, but he sat down under a juniper tree. And where that juniper tree was at is an amazing thing to me. It was in the wilderness. I'm going to tell you, the wilderness is not a great place to be, folks. Israel got turned into the wilderness. Why? Because their faith grew weak at Kadesh Barnea. They saw, realized there were giants in the land. They said, we can't go in, and they didn't go in. And their faith grew very weak. And I want to say the wilderness is not a good place to be. For the most part, that indicates a lapse in our faith when we're wandering in that wilderness. It's not a pleasant place to be at all. And if you find yourself there, look under the hills. If you find yourself alone, look under the hills. That's where your help is at.
Amen.
That's where your help is at. For the weak, if you find yourself weak in the faith, look under those hills.
Amen.
And I want to say also that our flesh grows weak. And you say it ought to grow weak. No, I ain't talking about that. I'm not talking about the fleshly mind that wars against the soul. I'm talking about this body that we're living in. Don't think it don't, friend. Here's what, and by the way, when the flesh grows weak, it's a danger zone. There was a man by the name of Esau. The Bible talks about Esau and about his brother Jacob in chapter number 25 of the book of Genesis. They were twins, but not identical. Verse 27 said, and the boys grew. And Esau was a cunning hunter and a man of the field, and Jacob was a plain man dwelling in tents. And Isaac loved Esau because he did eat of his venison, but Rebekah loved Jacob. And Jacob sawed pottage, and Esau came from the field and was faint. And Esau said to Jacob, feed me, I pray thee, with that same red pottage, for I'm weak. That is, he was tired. His body was worn out. He had been hunting all day, or maybe for several days, in the field and had not found any meat whatsoever. May I say to you this morning on the authority of the Word of God, you'll not find any meat out in the world either. That field is the top of the world, and there is no strength to be had out there, friend. You might run to places in the world and try to find pleasures there, but there's no pleasures in the places in the world. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. Hallelujah to God. I have more time. I have more good time on Sunday morning in an hour than most folks have all in a lifetime. I enjoy it. I don't know about you. But that flesh will grow weak. Notice what else he said. And Jacob said, sell me this thy birthright. And Esau said, behold, I'm at a point of to die. Then what good is that birthright going to do me? Now I'm going to tell you something, folks. It's a dangerous thing to let you, when your flesh gets weak. And it will. How you know, Brother Hall? I'm there. I'm not getting there. I'm there. My body is tired. My flesh has grown weak. But I've got enough sense to know that's a danger zone at a time when temptation, friend, can overcome you. Somebody said, now, Brother Hall, I don't believe that. Then you need to read your Bible. Peter, James, and John, when they went out, when the Lord took them out into the garden to pray, the Bible said, in Peter, James, and John, God said, you watch here and pray, and I'm going down yonder and pray myself. But when he came back, guess what? He found Peter, James, and John asleep. You know what he said? He said, thy spirit truly is ready, but your flesh is weak.
That's right.
In other words, your body's just a little tired and worn out. And I'm going to tell you something, friend. Their body got tired. They went to sleep. Esau's body got tired and weak and worn out, and he sold his birthright. It's a dangerous zone to be living in. When your body grows older and weaker, gets diseased and sick, grows run down, it's a good time for the devil to creep up on your shoulder and say, well, God don't love you. If he loved you, he wouldn't let you be like this. When that happens, we need to look at the wondrous cross upon which the Prince of Glory died. And realize what he suffered on our behalf. His body. In his body, in his flesh. His flesh, ladies and gentlemen. He bore our sins in his own body upon the tree. And yet he was without sin. I'm just telling you, when we get that way, like Peter, James, and John, like Esau, this old flesh gets tired and weak and run down. It's a danger zone. That's why I tell you that you need some time alone with your family. There's nothing wrong with you taking a vacation every now and then. You need it. I need it. I'm going to tell you something else. There wouldn't be anything wrong with some of you getting off your backsides and going to a few meetings like we went to Friday night. It would help you. Come on in the house, boys and girls. That's right. Now I'm going to tell you, our faith grows weak. Our flesh grows weak. And I'm going to say that our future sometimes looks a little weak also. If we can lose sight of God and the glory before us, if we only look, focus ourselves on the present situations around us. We're looking at situations and letting them tear us down and tear us apart. As a church, I'm trying to talk to you this morning from my heart. Like Brother Steve did said in Sunday school, I'm trying to talk to you from my heart. I know that you're focusing on situations and those situations are distracting you from seeing the Lord and His help that He has for you. And you'll never get help focusing on the present situation because your help is not there. Your help is in the hills. That's where your help is at. The Lord is your help. That's where you're going to find help at.
Yes, sir.
Not in your present situations. And we're all guilty of that. You can nod your head up and down.
You're right.
Because I hear you talk about them. I talk about them. Brother Steve said the other day, I walked in, he said, well, what are you going to complain about today? I said, what are you going to hear? What is it? I said, well, my foot burns. And he said, what else? I said, well, my back's a little bit hurting. He said, what about your arms? I said, they're hurting too. He said, what about your top of your legs? And I said, I'm hurting all over. He said, is there any place you don't hurt? I said, my earlobes. They feel pretty good. That's about the only place out now I'm not hurting at. And I'm going to tell you, if I lose sight of God and worry about my pain all the time, I will never be in bad shape. And so will you.
Amen.
We can't focus on our present circumstances. We've got to look under the hills. Focus on the hills. Look unto God. Keep your eye on the Lord. Walk by faith and not by sight. And keep your eyes, your spiritual eyes, on the Lord.
Amen.
For our help cometh from the Lord. Our help cometh from the Lord. Now I'm trying to hurry if I can here. That future. Here's what Paul said in Romans 8:18. He said, for I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. The sufferings of this present time, they're not even worthy to talk about, Paul said. If you compare them with the glory that's awaiting us, what is a little burning foot? What is a little aching back or a little pinched nerve in your elbow? What is a little Parkinson's or a little nerve failure? When you've got the future to look forward to. When heaven is at our grasp. It's almost like this morning, church. I can reach out and put my hand on Jesus. He feels that near to my soul today. And I'm telling you, as He said in Acts 17, just look around. He's not far from any of us. He's the great Creator, the Omnipotent One, the Omniscient One. He is always around.
That's right.
Just reach out and get a hold of Him this morning. Let Him turn your life around. And I will say that also that there's help for the wounded this morning. You know, when I think of this, in 2 Timothy 4:11, Paul made this statement. He said, only Luke is with me. Take Mark and bring him with thee, for he is profitable to me for the ministry. Now, here's my thought on that. I'm talking about being wounded. We always think of the argument between Paul and Barnabas. That's all we think about. Paul and Barnabas. What happened to Barnabas? You never hear him. Paul said, I don't want John Mark. He went with us not to the work. He went back to mama. I don't want him right now. Barnabas got all bent out of joint over that. He took John Martin and left with him. Paul took Silas and left with him. Now here's my thought. We always talk about Paul and Barnabas. I wonder how John Martin felt. There is a young preacher that the man of God, the older man of God, said, I don't want him around me. He went not to the work with me at an earlier time. I don't need him. Take him and be gone. Ooh, wonder how that boy felt in his heart. I was coming back from that meeting on Friday night, and Brother Gray was driving me. I had my leg propped up in the back seat trying to get some relief from my foot. And those fellows were up there, and they were just giggling, laughing, talking, carrying on. And I was just sitting back there just taking it in, just enjoying all of it. And they kind of quieted down a little bit. I said, fellas, you know what? The greatest blessing I had in the night is watching two young preachers coming home from a meeting where the man preached on the fire of God. And there you sit talking about and having a desire for that fire in your soul that he was preaching about. And here's my thought. I know what that fire is.
Amen.
I've been in the fire of God, thank God.
Amen.
And if you get in the fire of God, you don't ever have to worry about the fire of hell.
Amen.
He is a consuming fire. And what thrilled me was to hear two young preachers talking about what they got in that meeting. My days are behind me. My best times are gone. And I know that. I'm not a fool. But my best days is behind me. My body's weak and tired and weary. But I'm going to tell you something. I found help Friday night because I went down there looking to the hills. I didn't go down there to see a man. I went down there to see the Lord.
Yes, sir.
If we'll go looking for the Lord, we'll find Him. If we find the Lord, we'll find help. Some of you need it this morning. Some of you need to get on this altar and get right with God and just tell Him where you are in life and how defeated and discouraged you are and ask Him to help you.
Amen.
Get your eyes off of your little world. Get them on the Lord. But I wonder how John Mark felt when Paul said, you take John Mark, I don't need him. I said, that young preacher went away like this. I'm probably not fit for nothing. Paul said, I'm not. I will never make a preacher. I might as well quit. I might as well just give up. Because Paul said, I will. No help to him. I can't help nobody. I'll never make it in the ministry. That's how he felt. Wounded. But I wonder how he felt. See how things can change? When Luke said, hey! When Luke, who was he talking to? Timothy? When Timothy said, Mark, guess what? Paul wants you. Paul? Wants me? Oh, yeah, he wants you. Why? He said, I couldn't help. Oh, yeah. Oh, you don't understand. He said that you're profitable. You're profitable to him for the ministry. He wants you. Can you imagine how that little wounded heart suddenly got healed when he realized that he was wanted, that somebody did love him, that an older man of God loved him? Even a man of God that chided him and corrected him now shows him love and affection and kindness and draws him to himself that he might help him.
Amen.
The wounded. Wonder how many here this morning, man. Cut to the heart. Somebody's tongue got you pretty good. Your heart's bleeding. Well, I'm going to tell you. We need more than this. I've said it so many times. This is a record player saying, my heart bleeds for you. That ain't no good. That won't work. Somebody that's wounded and hurting, they need more than that. Look under the hills from which cometh your help. I wonder how he felt when the wound was healed. I'd say he probably jumped up and kicked his heels together. Yeehaw! Whoopee! Hallelujah! Paul said, I was profitable. Praise God. Hallelujah. I'm profitable for the ministry. I'm just not profitable for the ministry, man. Probably told Timothy, hey, Timothy, You want me to buy a new three-piece suit when I go down there? You want me to look good? Dress right? Be the man of God Paul thinks I ought to be? I don't think he had a three-piece suit, but whatever they wore back then. And I don't know. Some of you scholars probably know. Robes with wraps under the robes and robes on top of the robes and around the robes and wrap around the legs up through the straddle and over the back and over the shoulder. I don't know what they wore. I know they wore clothes. One more thing and I'm done. There's help for the weary. And I'll be very short right here. Closing. I think of little old Hagar in Genesis 21. When Abraham gave her that little bottle of water, gave her boys, ushered her off into the wilderness. And that little bottle of water is spent. It's gone. And she sits down under a tree. Sets the boy down, abandons her child. Her water is gone, and she abandons her child and goes over and sets down about a bow shot away so she won't have to watch him die. And all at once she hears a voice saying, Hagar, what doeth thee here? What's wrong with you? The Bible said the Lord opened her eyes. She saw a well of water. A well that was always there. She just had never seen it. He didn't dig a well. He opened her eyes so she could see the one that was there. And I'm going to tell you something. For the weary, there is a well of water. I've told you about Miss Birch's well. Oh, how wonderful that water was. So cool and refreshing. Had a stream running right through the middle of it. It was always almost ice cold. Draw it up out of there in the summertime, pour it in a glass, and that glass would just beat up on the outside. That water so cold and that glass so hot, just beat up, run down it. Fresh, good spring water. Dr. Stout said you can't improve on that. Hey, God opened her eyes and she saw that water. And I'm going to say there was water for the weary then, and there's water for the weary now. Are you weary? Paul said, don't be weary in well doing, for we'll reap in due season. If we faint not. There's help this morning. There's help. But you got to look under the hills from which cometh my help. And he said, I will. He resolved to do, I will look under the hills from which cometh my help. And then he was so bold, he said, the Lord's my help, praise God. I trust the Lord's your help this morning. He is your help. And he will help if you'll let him. Let's stand together.